pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. How you doing, Al?
Doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always.
It's great to be here as well. It's Monday. It is, what, the third week of January already. And it's in the United States of America, it is a legal holiday. It is Martin Luther King Day. It's celebrated second or third Monday in January. And today, January 15th, happens to be that day. Dr. King gave that famous, infamous speech, I Have a Dream, in Washington, D.C., at the Washington, D.C. Mall. And it certainly has lived in infamy. Unfortunately and sadly, the civil rights leader was gunned down in the prime of his life by James Earl Ray in Memphis, Tennessee on April 4th, 1968. And the left wing in America likes to pander to the civil rights group movement now, and such as Joe Biden does habitually. Old Joe didn't disappoint today with fabricating about Dr. King. Joe Biden, I'll tell you, his pathetic attempt to pander to Black America is second to none. This guy is unbelievable, and it's over a bust that he has in not Jill's bust, but he had a bust of Martin Luther King in his office, and it turns out that it's the same Martin Luther King bust that President Trump had in his office, except what Joe Obama did was move it to a different location. And this is what the fabricator-in-chief had to say. Dr. Martin Luther King's bust sits inside the Oval Office, handpicked by Biden as a reflection of the president's promise to America to restore the soul of America, to rebuild this country from the bottom up and middle out, to unite it. Yeah, bullshit. Reads the White House caption on social media outlets, including X and Instagram. There's a problem, though. Instead of merely highlighting the bust and acknowledging the holiday, the White House had to make the claim that Biden had handpicked the bust to somehow reflect his agenda. And that's not true. Not only has the Biden agenda flopped spectacularly and divided the country, earning the president underwater approval ratings and causing significant pain for Americans, but Obama didn't choose the bust for the Oval Office. There's the Washington Post, of all people, the Washington Post, all media, of all the news rags out there, the Washington Post reported that at the start of Biden's installation, the bust of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy flanked a fireplace in Biden's Oval Office. The MLK bust first came to the Oval Office under President Obama, one that Trump kept, though he moved it to a different area of the room, Washington Post noted early 2021. So, once again, it wasn't a hand-picked bust. He couldn't just leave well enough alone. The fabricator-in-chief continues to lie. The malleable simpleton is nothing but an ever-evolving load of crap. I mean, he just couldn't just leave well enough alone. But, you know, here he is pandering once again, thinking that that's going to endear him to, you know, Black America. Well, certainly the left wing will eat it up, as they do, and they cover for him. But Dr. King was first of of two high-profiled men to be assassinated in 1968, and it was truly a tumultuous time back then, but with Robert F. Kennedy on his way to receiving the Democrat Party's nomination for president, RFK was gunned down by Sirhan Sirhan in a California hotel on June the 6th, 1968, just 2 months after Dr. King's assassination. So I'm sure those of us that were alive remember where we were in those two incidences. I think I was in art class for Dr. King's assassination. And just unbelievable, man. Just, well, so, you know, whatever you think, Dr. King did turn heads and he did amass people. And it's unfortunate today that that individuals think that they have to be so important by embellishing on their status on the civil rights movement.
Martin Luther King would be 93 years old this year. Like you said, his life was cut short by an assassin in 1968. But did you know that he was also the first one? He was a Republican at the time of his death. He was a Democrat and then moved towards the Republican Party. And the Democrats don't acknowledge this, but he was the first black person to be named Time Man of the Year.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Yeah, started college at 15. He skipped grades 9 through 12, and at the age of 15, he was admitted to Morehouse College. So he was an academic brilliant. But one thing that was really interesting, you've heard of actress Julia Roberts, right?
Sure.
Famous actress. Well, the King family, they covered her parents' hospital expenses when she was born in 1967. Now, Julia Roberts' parents at the time, they couldn't pay for the hospital. This is told to Gail King in an interview with the History Channel. But so Roberts explained that her parents owned a theater school in Atlanta and that Coretta Scott King asked if her children could enroll. Now, at that time, there wasn't very much black and white interaction, especially in school. Well, the black kids of Coretta Scott King, they couldn't get in. They wanted to take acting lessons if there's no school that would admit them. So they're having a hard time finding a place, and they came over to Julia Roberts' family, and they said, yes, absolutely, we'll take your kids and get them into the school, and they were friends ever since. Now, I didn't know that. I thought that was kind of an interesting story.
Well, you know what? It's another one of those backroom stories that you don't really hear about. And you know the
mm-hmm.
the media doesn't like to put out there, and because they like to go with their narrative. But you know, that's actually, you know, it's amazing what you find out, you know, about like Dr. King and what they've done, you know, on the inside. Just like, you know, Donald Trump, you never know about Donald Trump and how philanthropic the guy was, because the media now will not report any of it because he's a Republican. So could it be that Dr. King, of course, being a civil rights leader, was also, you know, a friend of, well, probably a cult friend of Richard Nixon, but a Republican. So, you know, you got to wonder, right?
Yeah, and it's like with Trump, he kicked Jeffrey Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago when Epstein hit on some of the wait staff, and then he immediately kicked Epstein out of Mar-a-Lago and had nothing more to do with him after he did what he did, very inappropriate behavior with the help staff over at Mar-a-Lago, and that'll never be in the news. And that factoid tells it all. They're going to say, oh, President Trump had a relationship with Epstein, which he did until he kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago and then had nothing more to do with him because he was a scumbag.
Well, and you know what? And on the Mar-a-Lago thread, let's go ahead and talk about one thing. It was President Trump. It was Donald Trump, okay, who objected to the fact that the private country club at Mar-a-Lago did not allow blacks or Jews in the club. And it was Trump who sued under a discrimination act to allow blacks and Jews to have membership in the club. And he won. And if it wasn't for Donald Trump desegregating the Mar-a-Lago, what would you call it, country club, it would have never happened. So all this noise that the left wing has created a false narrative about President Trump being a racist, of course, that's something that the Alphabet News, the DNC-owned news like ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN will never report on. Certainly TBS would never report on it as well, the propaganda broadcasting system, you know. But that's also an untold factoid that the left wing doesn't want out there because it paints a positive picture of President Trump. You know, they all like to play that race card against Trump.
Yeah. Hey, did you watch any of the Sony Open?
I did. It was really good. The Sony Open held at Wailea Country Club in Hawaii. It was the second tournament of the year for the PGA. And, what a tournament, huh?
I tell you, three-way playoff. Grayson Murray took the win. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, Americans Keegan Bradley and Grayson Murray and South Korean Ben Ahn finished all tied in regulation at 17 under par. Ben Ahn and Grayson Murray were going for their first PGA Tour wins. And on the very first playoff hole, it's a par 5, number 18, all three reached the green, and they reached the green in three. So they're all putting for birdies. And Grayson Murray's up first. He's got like a 45-foot putt, would you say, across the green? And Murray drains the putt out of left field, dead center. He goes crazy. And the cool thing was that Keegan Bradley, his putt, was on a similar line, but he was like maybe 30 feet from the hole. So he was about 15 feet closer. He misses his putt. Now, Ben Ahn, he chipped up to 4 feet. Maybe a little bit less, maybe 3.5 to 4 feet. And he's got what we used to call a kick-in or a tap-in. And Ben Ahn gets over the putt. He putts it, and he misses it. He misses it out to the right. And he ends up parring the hole. Grayson Murray wins with a birdie, beats both Ben Ahn and six-time PGA Tour winner Keegan Bradley. And he earns his first PGA Tour win at the age of 30 years old. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I have choked four-footers many times, but never for $700,000. Oh, my God. I really fell for it. Like, wow, these guys are human. I did that this weekend quite a bit, and it is very frustrating. So what a finish.
Yeah, that's just stress. I mean, to miss an easy putt like that. Oh, so the LPGA is going to kick off their season this Thursday. They're going to be down in Orlando, Florida, at the famed Lake Nona Country Club, which is also the home of Annika Sorenstam, Hall of Famer, and many other professional golfers. So the LPGA is going to be taking off. And down under is the Australian Open has kicked off in tennis. It is the first leg of the Grand Slam in tennis for both men and women. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you saw any of it today, but I did. And I was watching Coco Gauff. She won the American Coco Gauff, who won the U.S. Open, the Ladies U.S. Open in New York back in September. She squared off in her first round bid, and she won it in straight sets, 6-3, 6-love. She looks pretty good, and I got to say, she was, I'm excited. I really like her. I've always liked her play, and now she's going for her second Grand Slam win in a row, actually, if she wins the Australian Open. So,
well, tune in. We got some great golf next weekend, for sure. And then you got playoffs, NFL, yeah.
You know what? Before we go to NFL, how about the Michigan Wolverines? Congratulations to all the Michigan Wolverine fans out there. They beat the Washington Huskies. I thought the Michigan Wolverines handled Washington pretty handily. I know the score may have been a little bit closer, but I got to say, the defense, Jim Harbaugh's Michigan defense, was absolutely stout. They were tough, and they actually did a fantastic job, I think, of containing Heck from the quarterback for Washington Huskies. So not only did the Washington Huskies lose the championship game on Monday, but on Wednesday or Thursday of last week, they lose their coach, their head coach. He is now the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide because Nick Saban has retired after 17 years. So there's a lot of tears over there, and I'm sure with the Crimson Tide, Nick Saban certainly leaves a great legacy. One of the winningest coaches, most successful coaches in college football history, with I think he has 7 national championship titles, and 5 of them were with, Alabama Crimson Tide. So,
yep, love him or hate him.
Exactly.
Great record.
Great record. He's got just an absolute great recruiter. So it's really cool to see, the 7-time national championship coach retire. What I'm surprised at, which really got me surprised, was the replacement. Alabama didn't waste any time, which tells me that, I don't know about you, but I think they had already possibly decided who the next coach was going to be. And I don't know if it was Nick Saban who had any input, but I just found it very odd that within 4 days they have a new coach. I was stunned.
Yeah, there wasn't much time. There was no normal breakup period to start dating again. But yeah, they picked him up very quickly. So like you said, I think it was a done deal. Decided long ago.
Which you have to wonder, are they going to anybody going to be filing any type of collusion charges? But the Alabama Crimson Tide chose Kalen DeBoer, and he was the coach of the Washington Huskies. He's 49 years old. And it should be interesting to see how he does. He amassed 105 wins and 12 losses as a head coach at the Washington Huskies. So, yes, and now the playoffs of the NFL are underway. And you got the Cleveland Browns got spanked yesterday by the Houston Texans. Green Bay trounces the Dallas Cowboys. I guess they're saying that Mark McCarthy's head, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, could be on his head could be on the chopping block. They can't get out of the first round. Is that true? I don't know. I don't follow this.
me, not so much. I heard the same headlines as you did, and could be.
Man, you can't keep losing in the first round. And then I guess tonight or today, right now, I guess the Buffalo Bills are playing their
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Okay, and it was actually the game 21 from. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's 21-7 halftime right now. So
who's winning?
Buffalo.
Buffalo's
Buffalo
winning 21-7. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was the fact that. There was a snowstorm. That's what it was, right? And the Governor Hochul had them move the game up to tomorrow, today from yesterday. So for safety purposes, they couldn't get enough illegal aliens.
Still, yeah.
Go ahead.
It's still too woke for me, and all these little sayings in the end zone, and then this diversity, equity, and inclusion and all. I have no tolerance for that. So the NFL has still not warmed me back, and I watch a little here and there, but my heart's not in it. What can I tell you?
Well, Al, another thing the NFL does that keeps shooting themselves in the foot. Last night's game between the Green Bay Packers. No, what was it? The other night, Kansas City
Chiefs
against
Miami.
The Dolphins. It wasn't on regular TV. It was on Peacock. And if you weren't already a subscriber, it would cost you $5.99 to watch the game on Peacock. Well, why would I want to pay $5.99? So I guess this is the first I think this is the first trial balloon. Well, it's probably the second, because the first one was Amazon Prime on Thursday night. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can't watch the Thursday night football games. So I'm seeing that the NFL is going to their word, and they're going to gravitate towards pay-per-view, especially for the Super Bowl. So, you know, if it continues like this, it's guaranteed I will never, ever watch an NFL game. So they can go pay-per-view. It makes it really easy of a decision.
Oh, and the kicker is that if you paid the $3.99 a year for DirecTV for the football package, like many people do, that Miami game wasn't part of that package. You would have to pay, go to Peacock, sign up, pay the $5.99, watch the game, and then cancel your subscription. But the streaming has resulted in a $6 billion lawsuit.
Really?
We'll have to see how that plays out. Yeah, the NFL faces up to a $6.1 billion payout if a class action antitrust lawsuit brought against the league is successful. Now, a federal judge in California rejected the NFL's motion to dismiss the lawsuit Thursday, concluding there is a triable issue of whether the league violated the Sherman Antitrust Act in its agreement with DirecTV. So very confusing, but it comes down to the NFL, with all these subscription services, it's not good for football. And if you're DirecTV and you pay the $3.99 and you're one of those subscribers, that's what's generating this lawsuit. Now, surprisingly, a mixed message was sent because 23 million viewers paid up the $5.99 to watch the Miami-Kansas Chiefs game. So
how many?
All the bitching aside, 23 million, according to Western Journal. When I heard that number, I was floored. I'm like, yeah. The network announced the game attracted 23 million viewers to become the most streamed event ever in the U.S. All the bitching doesn't matter because it was wildly successful, even though it was on Peacock. You and I find it extremely frustrating because we're used to having football on the Big Three or ESPN now or one of the other cable channels.
I find it interesting. 23 million, so good for Peacock. You know, they made some money, but isn't that still a little bit low? 23 million viewers. I don't know. I wonder how it measures up to, you know, terrestrial TV then, when they show it on ABC. Oh, I'm sorry, CBS, NBC, or Fox. What's the viewership there? Interesting.
Good question.
Okay. No, that's good. Well, I won't be watching.
The article didn't have that little factoid. Of course not. They're just all patting themselves on the back for all the streaming. So this is the way of the future. I don't like it, but I think it's going to happen with or without me.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll be without me because I'm not going to be spending money. I don't care what sporting event it is. I'm not going to go to pay-per-view to watch it. I stopped watching boxing for that reason. So I don't have any.
Yeah.
I don't have any desire. And you know what? Boxing is feeling the punch of it, aren't they? It's like a punch in the gut.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. They're losing viewership for sure. And the boxing is getting really good. I watch it on Friday nights. If I pass it on one of the sports channels in the 1600 block, Friday night fights. And yeah, it's I tell you, these guys are good. So that's a shame.
And speaking of a punch in the gut, did you hear about? And I see Hank's in the chat room as well. But did you see that ESPN? The Entertainment Sports Network has had to return 37 Emmys due to fraud. So apparently they were submitting phony names. ESPN, the executives were submitting phony names for Emmy Awards. And then after the imaginary winners were awarded the Emmy, they would take the awards and have them re-engraved and give them to real on-air personalities like Kirk Herbstreit and Lee Corso. So, excuse me, this had gone on for 13 years, and they were forced to give back all of the Emmys. So another black eye for the woke movement. You know, it's okay when they cheat and they lie and they steal, and then they get caught, and it's like, okay, well, we're sorry. Or when they get caught fabricating things, as they did with the Emmys, and denying, you know, those that work very hard. It's almost like it's the same movement with the cross-dressing issue, cross-dressing males, and now I believe there's a fight organization. WBA is going to allow cross-dressing men to fight in women's division. It's like, as soon as the first female fighter, the biological female fighter, dies, maybe it'll awaken them to the fact that males are stronger than females with regards to punching. Well, you know, I don't get it.
Well, they've already had some fights with men cross-dressing as women, being allowed to fight women, and there was one competitor female, biological female, who she had her jaw broken and her orbital bone smashed by a male MMA fighter. And then, injury has happened, but it doesn't seem to matter. I'm sorry. A man has the DNA of a man and will have that for the rest of his life, and the same for a woman. It doesn't change. And yes, there are biological outliers that are 0.0003% or something so far out of the norm that it doesn't really count. But yes, you do have those cases, but the majority of people are male forever and female forever. Throwing in.
It's
not that hard.
I don't know what it's going to take, and this particular movement is just – this whole entire woke movement is such a slap in the face to women, to biological women. And I got to tell you, I didn't know when to read this, but I'm going to read this. Now, the one thing that we've talked about over the last 1,090 days has been the Marxist movement campaign. Adopting Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals. And Saul Alinsky is a Marxist. Saul Alinsky, along with Cloward and Piven, they have, you know, they set an agenda, and that agenda is to destroy constitutional republics and indoctrinate and insert, you know, a Marxist movement. And Saul Alinsky has 8 steps to topple a nation. Healthcare, you control the people, and it's the reason why Obamacare, a.k.a. the Affordable Care Act, was established under Obama, because he knew that if the government could take over 1/7 of the economy, it was another way to control the people. You have social insecurity, you have healthcare. You have school, public education, all of that are control factors. And so Saul Alinsky's 8 items, one of them is healthcare. Number 8, class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and poor. This will cause more discontent. It will be easier to tax the wealthy with their support of the poor. And the other is in the 12 rules for radicals. It is chaos. Create chaos. And I got to tell you, we've talked about this year after year. We've talked about this on a frequent basis, but this continues to be the number one thing when you have a government such as the Biden-Harris-Obama government that was installed for one good reason only, to create chaos. Now, we can talk about that in the general terms, or we can itemize that list, which you and I, which the American people can truly understand. And I got to say, our Viking friend sent this divide and conquer, the globalist plan. Number one, racial divide, pit black versus white. And what did Obama start in 2009? It was a racial divide. Why? It's part of Saul Alinsky's plan for chaos. Number two, gender divide, women versus men. And now, to make matters worse with regards to sexualizing this, you have the left wing, the globalist, now in the United States at least, adopting this trans movement, further pushing women to the back of the bus, per se, since it's Martin Luther King's Day, and excluding biological women and their opinion, biological women and their expertise. You know, biological women, babies, a male cannot have babies. End of story, biological fact. But of course, with the rules for radicals, and when you create chaos, you create doubt. And it's exactly what the Marxist movement has done under Saul Alinsky's mission. Family divide, family versus abortion. And this one, the Democrat Party, the left wing in America, has taken a stronghold on for the last over 112, 115 years. There was a lady by the name of Margaret Sanger, who was revered by the Democrat Party. Hillary Rodham Clinton even won the Margaret Sanger Award, right, for her work. But what was Margaret Sanger's claim to fame? She created abortion clinics. She created abortion houses. And her express purpose was to basically exterminate the Negro race. It was to control and depopulate the Negro race. One would call that racist. And why Hillary Rodham Clinton has yet to give back that Margaret Sanger Award, which she proudly displays and holds as another a success, is beyond comprehension. I mean, after all, the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Flyers all removed the famed singer Kate Smith's bust, her statue, and also stopped having Kate Smith's song sung at the seventh inning stretch at Yankee Stadium, which was a staple for 40 years. Philadelphia Flyers took down the statue of Kate Smith. Why? Because in 1931, she sang a song about pickaninnies. Now, I'll tell you, which is a slang for blacks at the time. But Kate Smith was not a racist. Indiscretion. One issue back in 1931 when race relations were different. Now, let's compare that to Margaret Sanger. Millions of black babies have been exterminated thanks to Margaret Sanger's mission. But we can't talk about that. Why? Because the Democrat Party seeks to destroy the family unit. The Democrat Party's mission is twofold. You take God out of society and you destroy the nuclear family. That's how you upend a republic. That's how you create chaos. And the Democrat Party has done that. And I'm using Democrat and Republican for this purpose only. Number four, sexual divide, heterosexuals versus homosexuals. Suddenly, on January 21st of 2021, transgenderism came to the forefront with Barack Hussein, Satoru, Obama. Oh, I'm sorry, with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Out of nowhere, suddenly transgenderism, which is one half of 1% in America, became the focal point as a means to divide the United States of America. Why? Because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris adopted the globalist agenda. Now, we all know that Joe Biden is not smart enough to do this by himself, so you have the handlers of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, the alumni, who are now Joe Biden's handlers. Number five, economic divide, rich versus poor. Now, this is the basis of Saul Alinsky's division, class warfare. Divide the people into the wealthy and the poor. This will cause more discontent, and it will be easier to take the wealthy with the support of the poor. You know, we're talking about go back to 90% tax on the wealthy, destroy those who actually are productive, destroy the risk takers, because that's what a capitalist society rewards. You take the risk and there are rewards. And along the way, you provide for people. You provide jobs. You provide a tax base for communities. When you steal those jobs and when you steal that entrepreneurial spirit, you close up businesses. They move elsewhere. And what happens is business takes their tax money and they go elsewhere. And that destroys communities, as it's done in Northeast Massachusetts. Once a thriving manufacturing state, manufacturing shoes, manufacturing woodwork, furniture. And those furniture stores, those furniture manufacturers actually moved south to North Carolina and then moved across the pond to Europe and China. Why? Lower cost, lower tax base. And what happened? Jobs dried up. Manufacturing plants shut down. Communities could no longer afford the community services such as police and fire, the basic necessities, and they had to be pulled together. You see, this is all part of the socialist state. This is all part of the progressive movement. Class warfare, you demonize the wealthy. And it's the wealthy who are the risk takers. It's the wealthy who create jobs. But that's Saul Alinsky's number eight on his how to create a socialist state. Number six, political divide, constitutionalists versus democracy bandwagon. And folks, I think Holger hit a home run with all six of these. And the last one in particular, and I don't know if it was an epiphany that I had a couple of weeks ago that finally made me realize and understand that, yes, the MAGA movement, the Making America Great movement, yes, Donald Trump and his vision is a threat to democracy. But think about this. We have listened since Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama. We have listened to the left talk about democracy. And it's a conditioning. They don't talk about a constitutional republic. They don't talk about the fact that our founders never envisioned a democracy. They envisioned a republic. And not only did our founders envision a republic, but they also wrote it in this thing called the U.S. Constitution. The founding fathers, not in 1889, not in 1878, but in 1786, the founding fathers wrote in the U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, and it states that the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government. And nowhere in the United States Constitution does it state that the United States shall guarantee each state a democracy. And you see, this is where Barack Hussein Totoro Obama's election in 2009 was pivotal for the progressive Marxist movement. It was to dumb down and condition Americans. It was to dumb down our children in school. It was designed to condition Americans into speaking a certain way and accepting certain languages. Former FBI agent Dan Smoot, and I played this last week, and I'm going to play it once again because he eloquently and rightly defines what a democracy is and what a constitutional republic is.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
You know, that last part, and this is a 50-minute clip, 50-second clip, and there's actually a 10-minute full video. You can go to YouTube and listen to former FBI agent Dan Smoots, S-M-O-O-T-S. But his last part, subversion of language. This is something that Barack Hussein Totoro Obama had adopted and adopted it vehemently. He adopted it aggressively, the subversion of language. By calling the United States of America a democracy, it allowed for him to condition Americans into believing that the government is going to be your grandma, grandpa, mommy, and daddy. And as Dan Smoot stated, a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. Barack Hussein Totoro Obama would love nothing more than be that dictator. I mean, Joe Biden has shown how much of a dictator he can be. Of course, Joe Biden doesn't have the mental acuity to do it on his own, and that's why he's encircled himself with Obama alumni. And that's extremely important for Americans to understand that Barack Hussein Totoro Obama made sure that he could install Joe Biden as president of the United States so that he could control Joe and control the inner circle, from Jake Sullivan to Susan Rice to Valerie Jarrett to Samantha Power. All are Obama alumni. These people, let's not forget John Kerry. You know, John Kerry is one of the biggest anti-Americans that we've ever seen. John Kerry, okay, is one of the most anti-American and anti-constitutionalist that we've ever seen. Continued that anti-American mission after Obama left office and President Trump became the 45th president of the United States. And how this Congress, I understand how beholden beholden that Nancy Pelosi was and is to the establishment. I understand that. But how this Congress doesn't bring John Kerry up on charges under the Logan Act for dealing with the Iranians, the Iranian government, under the Iran deal and bypassing the President of the United States and Congress at the time is treasonous. So the inner circle of Joe Biden are all Obama alumni. And I this week in preparing for the show, I came up with an acronym. I thought it was really interesting that, you know, you've got here, you got Biden, and here you've got Obama, and here you have Obama's alumni. And in writing down these words, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, you know, there's an acronym to be had with this. You know, the left wing enjoys acronyms. They love acronyms. They love cliches. And they love slogans. And what better slogan to adopt to describe the Biden-Harris regime than the acronym BOAR, B-O-A-R? And you say, well, that's kind of a stretch. Well, you know what? You know what a boar is? A boar is a swine. It's a wild member of the pig species, an uncastrated male pig. Their squealing can be as loud as 110 to 115 decibels. And isn't it odd? Because the left wing, they love to scream louder and squeal louder than anybody else out there. And certainly the U.S. media goes right along with these squealers. But this is where the definition starts to define the left wing in America, specifically Biden, Obama, the alumni, and the regime. A boar's behavior can be extremely destructive to the environment, not to mention a constitutional republic, right? They dig up gardens, make ground unusable for farmers. They dig holes in roads and even dug up graveyards, especially during an election year. Acronym to give to the Biden-Obama alumni regime, then BOAR. A pig species that are extremely destructive. And we've seen how destructive they've been the last 1,092 days. Racial divide, gender divide, family divide, sex divide, economic divide, political divide. Economic divide. And how about the border divide? Now we have the malleable simpleton Joe Biden telling us that the border is secure. There is no crisis at the U.S. border. Suddenly, today, being the Republican caucus day in Iowa, it kicks off the 2024 presidential race, for at least for the Republicans. The Democrats aren't having their caucus until, I believe it's till March, because what they don't want to happen is they don't want Joe Biden to get to be defeated in Iowa, then get trounced in New Hampshire, and then we have to be sold a bill of goods that because of James Clyburn's endorsement, Joe Obama now is resurrected his campaign. The fact remains that Joe Obama's record is abysmal. It's one of the worst records in presidential history, not to mention the fact that Joe Biden is a habitual liar, plagiarizer, a pervert, and a thief. But back to the border. The U.S.-Mexican border has seen a record amount of illegal crossings. The fiscal year 2023 alone saw a massive number of illegal aliens storm at the southern border with a record 3.2 million migrant encountered, not to mention the other probably 7 million unencountered. This number does not include gotaways or those who avoided detection since Biden took office. More than 8 million illegals have entered the United States. I bet it's more like 12 million. Yet, Joe Biden, the record-breaking millions of illegal migrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border daily, is not a crisis. On Saturday, Biden told reporters that there's no need to worry about the southern border despite illegals crossing, surging to record highs, because there was no crisis. And you see, this next statement by Joe Obama should tell you all you need to know. Because here's a guy who has avoided talking about the border for 1,092 days. Now that we're in an election year, suddenly, the Joe Biden handlers have him speaking about the border. And so what does Joe Obama do? He blames the Republicans. Yeah. So Biden told reporters that there's no need to worry about the southern border despite illegal crossings surging to record high because there was no crisis, suggesting it is nothing more than a Republican scare tactic. I have been pushing them, my Republican colleagues, since they got in office. I think we have to make major changes to the border, Biden responded. Really? That's your answer? As he was leaving Camp David, Biden was asked by a Fox News reporter, Lucas Tomlinson, if he considered the southern border to be in danger. In response to the president firmly said, no. And he blamed Republicans. He blamed Republicans for the border being open and the crisis, for not making major changes to the border. Now, we have a rise in human trafficking since Joe Obama got into office on January 2021. We have a rise in illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through America's borders since January 20, 2021. We have a rise in health issues that have infected Americans all throughout the United States since January 20, 2021, all because Joe Obama decided that they were going to scrap what was working at the border, and that was keeping the border closed. That was holding Mexico accountable for allowing passage, free passage, from their southern border to Central America through their country into the United States of America. There have been, let's see, there have been, where are my numbers here? Sorry about that, I lost them. Here we go. There have been over 6,000 Afghanis who have been stopped at the southern border. 6,000 just in the last 2 years that we know of, folks, that we know of. We don't know how many have gotten through. There have been over 680 Iranian nationals who have been detained at the border, stopped at the border. We don't know how many have gotten through. Just in the last fiscal year, over 23,000 communist Chinese have been stopped at the border. 23,000. And we don't know how many have gotten through. And what's interesting about that number and the phony commentary by Joe Obama, as well as his corrupt and anti-American regime, is muckrakers.com had uncovered during their mission from the Darien Pass in northern Colombia and southern Panama into the United States southern border through Mexico, the muckrakers.com uncovered that the communist Chinese government has purchased motels along the trail from the Darien Gap to up to the Mexican-U.S. border for their communist Chinese nationals to stop, shower, clothe, and then make their way illegally into the United States. Now, that sounds like, to me, it sounds like, I don't know what it sounds like to you, but it sounds like an invasion. It sounds like an intentional breaching of a sovereign nation's borders by an enemy, communist China. Now, some may say, well, they're not our enemy. Communist China has a mission, and it's similar to Islam. Islam is not in America to be part of a nation. It is about domination. It is about supremacy. Border Czar Kamala Harris have failed the American people. They have failed the U.S. Constitution. They have failed to hold up their constitutional oath of office, and that is to protect and defend the United States of America from all adversaries, foreign and domestic. They have failed to uphold Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. I read it in part. Here's a full of it. The United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. And they have failed to do so. And now when it's politically expedient, when the timing becomes right, you prance Biden out of his basement to basically address the U.S. DNC media and then blame the opposition party for the invasion of America, for the 6,386 illegals from Afghanistan, for the 659 Iranians that have been stopped at the U.S.-Mexican border, the 538 Syrians that have been stopped, the 24,000 communist Chinese who have been stopped in the last 12 months. At what point will the United States Congress do their duty? Well, you know what? That was wishful thinking. So the next step, the next bet, is to bring in an outsider who believes about making America great. And it's not a terrorist theme. Making America great is simply what it states. It's putting America first. And why is that a crime in the United States of America today? Why is it a crime to put America first? Why is it a crime that Americans deserve individual liberties and freedoms as our U.S. Constitutional Republic guarantees? We have a constitutional republic that guarantees individual liberties. A democracy does not guarantee individual liberties. And a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And it's exactly what Barack Hussein Satoru Obama wants. It's exactly what Nancy Pelosi wants. It's exactly what Chuck Schumer wants. It's exactly what Mitch McConnell wants. They want a dictatorship. They want Washington, D.C., the Washington, D.C. syndicate to dictate to we the people how we should live, what kind of air we should breathe, how we should spend our money, what we should eat, what we should drive. They want to dictate every facet of our life from the time we are born to the time we die. They don't believe in individual freedoms and liberties. They believe in chaos. They believe in demonizing their enemies and going after their political enemies, which they have done since 2009. Oh, going after President Trump just didn't start in 2016. Going after conservatives just didn't start in 2016 or 2018 or 2023. No, it started back with Barack Hussein Satoru Obama going after James Rosen and his family using the IRS to go after James Rosen and his family because James Rosen had the audacity to question the Obama-Biden regime. whether it was Benghazi, whether it was gun running with the Mexican cartels, whether it was with Holder. No, you couldn't question Barack Hussein, Sator, or Obama. And then Barack Hussein, Sator, Obama not only used the Justice Department, but used the Internal Revenue Service to squash the Tea Party. They used the Internal Revenue Service to squash the Tea Party. Now, fast forward that to 2021. What are we seeing with regards to the what's called now the MAGA movement? You don't believe me? Here is an audio of Clay Higgins, representative from Louisiana. It's 54 seconds. Clay Higgins, Representative Higgins, appeared with Tucker Carlson. And I want you to listen to this very carefully, especially from 30 seconds on, what Representative Higgins has to say. I was stunned. I didn't think there was anybody in Washington, D.C., including in the Republican Party, who actually thought outside the box. But here's Tucker Carlson interviewing Clay Higgins.
When you say that there were FBI assets in the crowd in the building beforehand, what's the scale of this? Are you talking like 10, 20?
No.
So real hard, objective, and conservative estimates would put the number of FBI assets in the crowd and inside at well over 200.
200?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the objective was to destroy the entire MAGA movement, to forever stain the patriotic fervor that was associated with the America First movement. And the establishment, both major parties, were determined to smash that out of existence, not just by defeating Trump, but by destroying the reputations of the movement itself, by creating this narrative that was totally false, that America First Republicans are somehow a danger to our republic.
I was stunned. So we go back to the Tea Party in 2015, and it was the objective of Barack Hussein, Sator, Obama, and his Internal Revenue Service, Lois Lerner in particular, because she headed the IRS at the time, and it was to destroy the Tea Party, stop the movement. It was actually an organic movement that just grew thanks to Rick Santelli's rant on the Chicago Board of Trade floor. Now you look at what's occurred on January 6th, and you look at President Trump and his entire presidency, and the fact that he became popular by We the People. Why? Because President Trump believed in the United States of America. President Trump put America first. Despite what the left-wing narrative was, despite the left-wing's attempt to delegitimize President Trump and delegitimize his election versus Hillary Rodham Clinton, it's okay for the left-wing, okay, to question the 2016 presidential election, which they tried to rig, and it backfired because we the people spoke. They did learn from that. The Washington, D.C. syndicate did learn from that in 2020, and they were going to ensure that Donald J. Trump was not going to return to the White House. And they used the malleable moron, Joe Biden, to do so. But as Clay Higgins stated, the objective was to forever destroy MAGA. Why? Because MAGA is a threat to their democracy. It is a threat to their despotism. It is a threat to their dictatorship, because under their style of democracy, it always, always degenerates into a dictatorship. They don't want us to have individual freedoms. Tack on the Second Amendment. We have the right to bear arms. Right to bear arms shall not be infringed. I don't know what part of that is not understood. That's called gun control. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It's a very simple Bill of Rights. Except if you're a left-wing anti-American and part of the Uniparty, you want a dictatorship because you do not want this Bill of Rights enforced. You, the government, want to tell we, the people, what type of weapons we are allowed to own and what we cannot own. And it's why they've changed the, what was it again? What did he say? Subversion of language? Is that what Dan Moot said, FBI agent? The subversion of language, it's why they call these weapons now, automatic weapons, they categorize them, weapons of war. Really? Oh, why does the U.S. government possess AR-15s? For why? Why, in case you go to a war veto. Oh, okay. Oh. You have the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And then, of course, they make up the excuse about going hunting. Well, hunters don't need an AR-15. It's not about hunting. The government wants to fear, the government should fear we the people, and now they're working on ways not to. And it's why they continue to abridge the First Amendment freedom of speech. It's why they come up with these subversions of languages to control speech. Well, you know, we're going to label that hate speech. Oh, who's going to determine hate speech? Oh, the U.S. government determines hate speech. It's okay for Biden's handlers, members of the board team, to write a speech and have dictator Joe Biden be divisive, be hateful, be spiteful, and deliver a hateful speech against his enemies. That type of speech is tolerable because, well, it's because they, the democracy mongers, have decided what speech is going to be acceptable. But if you dare to criticize the government, well, you're a threat to the U.S. government. If you happen to be in Washington, D.C., by the Capitol on January 6th, you are a threat. You were part of that insurrection. There was never an insurrection on January 6th. More and more video evidence is coming out, and it's proving that it was no insurrection. There was nobody armed except the Capitol Police, and it was important that they indeed shot one of the protesters, one of the rioters who were in the Capitol. That gave Nancy Pelosi and the Washington, D.C. syndicate the ammunition to label this an insurrection. And yet nobody was charged with insurrection. Most were charged with trespassing. I mean, what happened last week with the pro-Hamas movement in Washington, D.C. and destroying the White House fence and trying to breach the White House is more of an insurrection than what occurred on January 6th. But Representative Clay Higgins was absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. The objective is, not was, the objective is to forever destroy the MAGA movement. It's why Extreme Hakeem Jeffries always prefaces his tweets, extreme MAGA Republicans. It's always why Joe Obama's handlers always send out tweets, extreme MAGA Republicans. It's always why the left wing in America sends out a tweet, extreme MAGA Republicans. There's nothing extreme about wanting to hold up the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And clearly under democracy, the government of a democracy does not want you or me or we the people to ever petition the government for a redress of grievances. And that's why it's important that the democracy mongers come up with come up with these organizations like the Office of the Ministry of Truth. Since when does the United States government put in charge one person to determine what speech is acceptable? And it's exactly what Joe Obama and the Bohr regime did. The Biden-Obama alumni regime did to control the people. And that's why we, the people, are a threat to democracy. We're a threat to their democracy, which degenerates into a dictatorship. It's their democracy that wants to deny we, the people, of individual liberties and freedoms. And it's why the mission, Biden and the Obama alumni, was making Americans dependent upon the federal government. It's why they did away with energy independence. It's why we are paying higher prices in the grocery stores. We are looking to the government for assistance now. It is why they want we, the people, dependent upon the federal government. The President of the United States has no authority to forgive college tuitions, has no authority. It is Congress who has the purse strings. It is Congress who holds those purse strings to decide how to spend and raise money. It does not give the executive branch of government the ability to forgive loans, such as student loans. And it should be fought, and it should be once again struck down by the Supreme Court, because that's what a dictator does. A dictator makes unilateral decisions irrespective of the United States Congress. All this talk about Donald Trump being a dictator is hogwash. It's hyperbole. They are sound bites meant to mislead we, the people. Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama are the real dictators in America. They are seeking to make Americans dependent upon the federal government in a globalist fashion. We're going to have to do away with fossil fuels by 2030. Folks, that's 6 years away. We're already witnessing how Biden and the Obama alumni are draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve from 714 million barrels of oil to below 325 million barrels. Below 325 million barrels. Intentionally creating a national security risk to eliminate fossil fuels. Why? They want higher prices. Why? Because there is a fear that in November 3rd, November 5th of 2024, we the people will reelect Donald J. Trump as President of the United States. And their best efforts to upend this man over the last 2 years would have failed. So now they must continue the chaos, but they must amp it up. The negligence of Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris and Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama is treasonous. They have reduced the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which was filled to capacity on January 20, 2021. It is now over 60% depleted. Probably even depleted even more. Haven't seen the latest. And of course, this regime is dishonest enough to where they will not show the latest numbers. But they continue to draw down the supplies. And then when they do replenish by 20 million barrels, they buy the oil from Russia. They buy the oil from Iran. Now, Russia needs the money to fight against the Ukraine. And in the meantime, Zelensky comes to the United States, and you've got the thief, the commander-in-chief, Joe Biden, who wants nothing more than to continue to use taxpayer money to support a failed operation. And so we're up to $154 billion being given to the Ukraine. $154 billion and growing. Create unsustainable debt. That was one of Saul Alinsky's biggest missions. One of number three, debt. Increase the debt to unsustainable levels. That way you are able to increase taxes, and this will always produce more poverty. And this has been the goal of Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, Hillary Rotten Clinton, Bill Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and certainly Joe Biden. And then, of course, we have the war with Hamas and Israel. And as a result of the feckless fraud in the White House, who we were told was some sort of foreign policy guru. He was such a foreign policy expert, Joe Biden, that he has absolutely failed at every point. Going back to Afghanistan in August of 2021, the fall of Afghanistan, 13 American soldiers dead. Why? Because of the failed foreign policy of one Joe Biden. 13 American soldiers dead. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of Americans stranded in Afghanistan. Thanks to the feckless fraud in the White House. This foreign policy genius, the guru of foreign policy, Joe Biden. One blunder after another. And that deceit and that duping was all part of the process in 2020. Joe Biden is no foreign policy genius. He's an idiot. He's a malleable simpleton. And the American people are paying for that. And they're paying for it because you just take a look at what's happened now with the Houthis. The Houthis now are more aggressive. They're attacking America's trading ships. They're attacking oil tankers. They're taking oil tankers hostage. And this is the policy of Joe Biden and Border Czar Harris. Oh, wait a minute. Policy of President Trump was to declare the Houthis a foreign terrorist organization. And Jake Sullivan, who is now the national security advisor of Joe Biden, Jake Sullivan, an alumni of the Obama regime, castigated President Trump for declaring the Houthis a foreign terrorist organization. So they delisted, the Biden, Border Czar Harris regime, delisted the Houthis as a foreign terrorist organization. Because it was mean that President Trump did that. And once again, President Trump is vindicated on the foreign policy side. You know, there's a foreign policy guru, Joe Biden. It's been one blunder, one misstep after another. And now we've got at least three incidences, maybe four, maybe five incidences where President Trump was right as usual. And it was with the Houthis. He declared the Houthis a foreign terrorist organization. Only to have the Biden Border Czar Harris regime delist the Houthis as a foreign terrorist organization. Can we get any more proof of how much of an imbecile Joe Biden is, how much of a fraud this man is? I mean, his actions are getting Americans killed. His actions have produced the highest inflation in 40 years in the United States. His actions have caused the highest prices at the gas pump. Al, the Houthis now have been much more aggressive, and there's no end in sight with this. And they're also financially backed by Iran, who the Biden Border Czar Harris regime is in negotiations with to restart the Iran deal that is nothing more than another failed policy by the Obama-Biden regime.
No, like you said, January 19th, Trump, but right before he left office, he put the Houthis, who are they are a proxy of Iran, Islamic jihadis, and he designated them a global terrorist list. And a week later, Biden removed the Houthis as a specially designated global terrorist. And then today, the U.S. cargo ship was hit by a missile off the Yemeni coast, destroying the cargo ship, which is technically an act of war. But we hear nothing from President Biden because he is an elite capture of Iran and China.
You know, John Kerry was very active in the Iran deal. John Kerry's daughter has some sort of ties to the Iranian government. The Obama Iranian advisor for the Iran deal is also part of the Biden Border Czar Harris regime. Does anybody see any parallels here? I mean, shouldn't we be concerned about who the inner circle is of Joe Biden? I mean, the executive branch of government under Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama is virtually the same under Joe Biden. And it includes the very poor Iran deal. The Iran deal is an absolute abortion. But it also empowers Iran. And then you have Biden and Border Czar Harris releasing $65 billion of assets, of Iranian assets, only to help finance Hamas against Israel and now the Houthis. Should we be concerned
at
all?
The Iranian chant, death to America, death to Israel. And yet President Biden and the Democrats are wholly in support of Iran and have been for decades, which is a mystery. Because they are an enemy of the United States of America, along with China, North Korea, and Venezuela, just to name a couple. And the Houthis, they took over Yemen in a civil war as recently as 2015, so they are very new kids on the block. And then after attacking that cargo ship, it was an act of war. And frankly, it's an embarrassing for me as an American to have that attack on a U.S. cargo ship go unanswered.
I know. Absolutely. I mean, this is the same regime who basically funded, or I'm sorry, the same regime who funds Hamas, who funds Hezbollah, who funds the tri-border region in South America, who funds terrorism. And it's the same people. It's the Obama. You know, I know this continues, and I hope it resonates, but it's the Obama alumni are running the show under Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not smart enough. Joe Biden is not well enough to run a government. He's simply a front man. And when you look at the players who are inside the executive branch of government, from John Kerry, who's the climate czar, but he's still advising on Iran. Well, what does that have to do with climate? I don't understand. Yet, you know, John Kerry flies around the world in his own private jet or at taxpayer expense, but he was part of the Obama-Biden regime. And the point man in the Biden and the Obama-Biden regime who authored the Iran deal was brought back in under Biden and Border Czar Harris to re-implement the Iran deal. So you have the same player now who's advising Biden, who advised Obama. You can't make this stuff up. And these things are not just coincidental. That's the problem with this whole thing. These aren't coincidences that the border is breached, the southern border is breached. It's no coincidence that Iran has been emboldened. It's no coincidence that America is now paying, you know, $82 a barrel for oil versus $25 on January 20, 2021. It's no coincidence. Suddenly, the two economic countries, the two countries who are in economic disaster, one being Russia, the other being Iran, have a new breath of life since Biden and Border Czar Harris were installed. They have a new lease on life. And in doing so, what did they do? Both of them engaged in war with other countries. You had Iran funding Hamas, which is a Sunni based, a Sunni-backed terrorist organization. Then you have, you know, obviously we know what Russia did in invading Ukraine. And I guess it was meant to bleed the American taxpayer. And then you have, now you have the Iranians funding the Houthis. And in the background is communist China, who's absolutely loving this because they're walking into places that the United States fled under Joe Biden.
Well, the mixed messages are confusing at best. On January 12th, President Biden was asked by a reporter, and this is on Friday, if he called Yemeni's Houthi forces, quote, a terrorist group after American and British warplanes, ships, and submarines launched dozens of airstrikes across Yemen back on the 12th that night. Biden said that Washington would respond to the Houthis if they continued behavior that he called outrageous. So he's calling them a terrorist group before he took away their global terrorist status, just removed it as a favor to Iran. Talk about mixed signaling, mixed messaging, while our assets are being attacked, planes, ships, cargo ships, by a proxy of Iran.
You know, I found the quote from Jake Sullivan that he tweeted in 2021. This is after President Trump had listed the Houthis as a foreign terror, or designated the Houthis as a foreign terrorist organization. This is what Jake Sullivan tweeted out. Agree with Senator Todd Young on last-minute terrorist designation of the Houthi movement. Houthi commanders need to be held accountable, but designating the whole organization will only inflict more suffering on Yemeni people, impede diplomacy critical to end the war. So once again, President Trump was correct. Once again, President Trump has been vindicated. You know, the Houthi people from suffering. Tell me, why was it that Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and the Biden regime back in 2012 fled Yemen and left behind U.S. military equipment? I mean, I think the cut and run is something that was established under Obama that was continued under Joe Biden.
Yeah.
When he cut and run in Afghanistan. So for Jake Sullivan, who was part of the Obama regime, to make that statement, okay, this is another foreign policy blunder.
Well, it gets worse because President Biden said, and I quote back 3 days ago, he said, it's irrelevant whether they are designated as terrorists, Yemen. We've put together a group of nations that are going to say that if they continue to act and behave as they do, we'll respond, Biden told reporters. But it makes a huge difference that they're designated global terrorists as far as with financing, and when they commit acts of war and retaliation by the United States. So to put this all in context, the Houthis, as we said, are an Iran-backed armed movement that took control of most of Yemen back in 2015. Now, they've been attacking shipping at the mouth of the Red Sea, one of the world's busiest trade lanes, since October. Now, these attacks have forced shippers to change course and take longer routes. The Houthis say their attacks have been a show of support for Palestinians under siege by Israel and the Hamas-governed Gaza. So while this is going on, the Biden administration is trying to hamstring Israel and not help them with the war efforts and helping the civilians. They're not giving Israel everything they need. They're trying to hamstring Israel, and they're pushing for a two-state solution for after Israel wins the war, which is ridiculous because there is no coexistence, because Israel gave up Gaza in 2005 with a policy of coexistence that failed miserably. So there can be no coexistence. So this policy that President Biden is putting out between Yemen, the Middle East, Israel is going to cause a conflict of greater proportion than it could have been easily ended. Could have been stopped with a little strength from the United States against Iran. But instead, Biden's weakness is going to cause a furthering of this conflict, and more people are going to die, and the United States may possibly be drawn into a larger conflict in the Middle East that could just blow up at any moment. So these are perilous times.
So, I mean, again, is this all by design? I can't help but continue to use that phrase. I mean, it's almost like it's all by design. Well, you know, to sit there and say that there's no crisis at the southern border is either disingenuous or delusional or basically a flat-out lie.
I'm going with the flat-out lie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't know who's coming over. We know that thousands of Chinese nationals have come in that we know about, not to mention the getaways. We know that gang members are just flowing through the border. We know that Middle Eastern, other than Mexicans, Middle Eastern Venezuelans are flooding through the border. And once these groups, Vito, when these cells join together to cause real chaos in the United States, it's going to be very easy to do. They can attack the waterways. They can attack our electrical grid. They can attack our highways. Hell, we have found that between Antifa and Hamas, they had to call off almost the National Guard because they were shaking down the fence so hard, trying to break into the White House property, that they nearly destroyed a fence stopping them, to stop them, and acting violently at the White House.
At the White House.
And there were no arrests that we know about. So, yeah, they're here. They're ready to cause chaos. My guess is that when and if China has designs on Yemen and wants to make the move on on repatriating Yemen, that's when we'll start seeing distractions here within the United States, which is going to cause us much ajna, to say the least, because it'll distract us, and a greater war is inevitable.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there was ever a case to reelecting President Trump, we've learned it very quickly in the last 1,090 days. We've learned how quickly you can actually descend an economy into chaos. You can plunge the international affairs into total chaos. And, you know, President Trump was lambasted by the left wing, you know, for creating a dialogue with Kim Jong-un and bringing back the remains of 55 fallen U.S. Soldiers in the Korean War. And he wasn't heralded for that, for doing that. And then, of course, the mission by Nancy Pelosi and the Washington, D.C. syndicate was to never legitimize President Trump, and they didn't. They continued to shield Joe Biden, as they did when Joe Biden had diarrhea of the mouth, and he stated that that they withheld him and Barack withheld a $1 billion loan guarantee to Ukraine. And Poroshenko was strong-armed, who was the president of Ukraine at the time. But also, with regards to Ukraine, you had Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was on the board of Burisma, an energy company in Ukraine. Chris Hines, who is John Kerry's stepson, was on the same board of Burisma. I understand that Pelosi's son was also involved with Ukrainian energy, not necessarily Burisma, but involved in Ukrainian energy. So there's when you start connecting the dots, you see why the Washington, D.C. syndicate went into damage control immediately and went after President Trump. And they created narratives and false narratives at that.
And one of those guys was John Castro. He's a 37-year-old man from Texas who's been actively engaged in challenging former President Trump's qualifications to appear on the ballot in various states. This has been happening in Colorado and other states to keep – you can't beat Trump, so you get him off the ballot. You're talking about election interference. This is it at the worst. Well, John Castro was arrested last week on federal tax charges. The charges against him include 33 counts of aiding the preparation of false tax returns. Prosecutors allegedly ran a virtual tax preparation business that defrauded the government by providing customers with inflated tax returns beyond what they were actually owed. So Castro would offer customers a significantly higher refund than what they could receive from other tax preparers. He would also promise to split the additional refund with them. In order to achieve these larger refunds, Castro would allegedly generate false deductions without the taxpayers' knowledge. The prosecutors claimed that Castro submitted fraudulent tax returns on behalf of his clients, totaling almost $30,000 in fake claims. So for $30,000, this guy sold his soul to the devil for chump change. And these are Democrat Marxists. This is who these people are. And they are victims. Whereas with Fannie Ellis going after Trump, saying that, was it Fannie Ellis or the other one up in New York, saying that Trump violated bank fraud. When there was no bank fraud, there was no victim. Well, in this case, with the Democrat and John Castro, we have a victim. And I don't know about you, but this story has not been picked up by the mainstream press for all intents and purposes. Found it on secondary news sources, and the story was corroborated.
Well, we understand why it's not being picked up by the press. We understand why they are avoiding this, because once again it paints Joe Biden in a negative light, and the idea is to you must shield Biden and the Democrat Party in order to create a false narrative, the subversion of language and the subversion of the truth, and it's exactly what we are witnessing today by the current regime in Washington, D.C. And, you know, it's important to talk about this because today actually kicks off the 2024 presidential election year, except for the Democrat Party. And once again, we know why the Democrat Party has terminated the Iowa caucus for being the first leg of the election, the primary election cycle for Iowa. Now, I didn't terminate it altogether. It's now held in March. But the Democrat Party, wants to ensure that the perception is that Joe Biden is still electable. And it's why they went ahead with, one, moving South Carolina to the first Democrat primary, because they can prop up the phony James Clyburn, who will give his endorsement once again to Joe Biden. And the perception is that Joe Biden is a strong candidate and the only one that can defeat Donald Trump. But the reality is that Joe Biden is a lightweight. And we're watching this unfold. Why is it that the Democrats removed the Iowa caucus, which is held the same day as the Republican caucus? Why did they remove it as the first election? Because they know what the outcome is going to be. Joe Biden's climate hoax agenda, Joe Biden's domestic economic policies, Joe Biden's energy policies has failed the American people. It has brought significant pain to Americans, to middle class, to the working poor, to the upper middle class, to the wealthy, to small businesses. It is hamstrung small businesses having to raise prices as a result of drastically rising energy costs. And so the Democrat Party has to give the illusion that Joe Biden is an acceptable candidate. And the second thing was, it's a reason why they shunned Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from the Democrat Party. It was a sigh of relief when the establishment, Robert F. Kennedy, decided to change parties. Instead of standing in and fighting for his family's heritage, you know, his uncle and his father both were stalwarts of the Democrat Party. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. fled. He absolutely took his toys and he went elsewhere. But that had to be all part of the agreement. Once again, not to hold Joe Biden accountable or expose Biden for the incompetent, malleable simpleton that he truly is.
Yeah, well, Biden's Marxist henchwoman, Fulton County, Georgia District Attorney Fannie Ellis, is in some trouble as well because she paid her alleged romantic partner, Nathan Wade, to work at a higher hourly rate on the case against former President Donald Trump than she contracted one of the state's leading racketeering experts, according to documents obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. John Floyd, who was he wrote a book on the federal and state racketeer influence and RICO statutes, is considered Georgia's top expert against President Trump. Well, on March 10th, he was paid an hourly rate by Fannie Ellis of $150 per hour, which seems very low, according to a contract obtained by the Democratic DCNF. Nathan Wade, who Fannie Ellis has a love affair with, he was appointed special prosecutor. He was retained at a rate of $250 per hour, essentially defrauding the taxpayers of Fulton County, Georgia. Now, a Trump co-defendant claimed in a motion seeking to dismiss the case last week that Willis benefited from awarding Wade, allegedly her romantic partner, a lucrative contract because he used payments he received for his position to take her on cruises and vacations. Wade filed for divorce from his wife on November 2nd, the day after his contract to work under Willis began.
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't. It's absolutely. I mean, the fact that I'm paying $250 an hour for a RICO expert, that means that these people are working basically probably at least half. I mean, $500 an hour is about what the normal rate is for just a B-level attorney. So these people are dirty. The prosecutors are dirty, and they're ripping off the taxpayers of Georgia. And meanwhile, President Trump did nothing. And therefore, this is election interference of the highest order. And where are the Republicans? Why aren't they defending Trump? Why aren't there lawsuits being filed by the Republican Party left and right? President Trump is left having to defend himself on his own, as he's been defending himself, gosh, since the moment that he walked down Trump Tower when he ran for president in 2016. He's been under constant attack and has beat it all back at his own dime. In fact, he's the only president whose net worth has gone down by half since he took office as president in 2016. His personal net worth has decreased by half.
Yep. All in a quest to unseat this guy, to destroy him. To destroy him. That's the objective.
Yeah, and Fannie Willis's boyfriend, he's been paid a total of $654,000 in legal fees since January 2022. So this is not chump change. That's well over north of $500,000. That's felony of the highest order.
You know, it might be too right. Okay, so moving forwards in the chat room. Okay, so as is Bigfoot, Golf Dogs, Hank Jones was in there. Joe was in it earlier, and James is there. You got Sue from the Mexicos on the board. We got the Alaskan Boyd, Joe Gibson. But Movin came in and said that the largest massing of, let me see here, I got it. He said deployment worldwide today, folks. Carrier groups headed to the Western Pacific, 20,000 British troops to Europe, plus Lime Navy carrier with F-35, 30-plus European countries mobilizing for a party. Sweden and Germany are preparing for war, so says Boyd. But the biggest deployment since World War II now going on. So my question is, I find this all coincidental once again. Today's the Iowa caucus, the Republican Iowa caucus. Donald Trump, who has been the left wing, the Washington, D.C. establishment, has been trying to destroy since 2016 and certainly over the last 24 months. You've got Biden going after his political opponent in an aggressive manner. Today's the Iowa caucus. If Donald Trump wins the caucus convincingly, does the global body want this taken off the front page that Donald Trump is back and the people of Iowa have spoken and they've rejected the other Republican candidates in favor of Donald Trump, which certainly makes him the front runner going into New Hampshire primary? I just find it very coincidental that today, the biggest deployment since World War II is now going on. I don't put it by the globalists at all, because this is a global movement. At the World Economic Forum in 2017, after President Trump spoke with the leaders, the business leaders at the World Economic Forum, and received a resounding approval from these individuals, the very next week, George Soros went to the same economic forum and stated that they must do everything to stop Trump. Now, why would an outsider like and a globalist like George Soros go to Zurich, Switzerland with Klaus Schwab, who started the founder of the World Economic Forum, and state they must stop Donald Trump? Why? Making America great, putting America first, believing in capitalism, and making America the beacon of light and hope and liberty around the world. I just find this...
Well, for China, President Trump is going to stymie China's designs on the Middle East with the Belt and Road Initiative. Mm-hmm. He will put up brakes, whereas Biden is doing nothing, and China each and every day is gaining a stronger and stronger influence in the Middle East as the United States has less and less influence. So for China, Foreign Minister Wang Yi said the war in Gaza continues to escalate and China is calling for a larger scale, more authoritative and effective international peace conference and a concrete timetable to implement a two-state solution. Do you ever remember China getting into the middle of Middle East politics?
No.
I don't.
Never. Never, Al. Never.
And now with this Belt and Road Initiative, China is on the advance.
And Montenegro,
where China goes, trouble will follow. Yeah.
The country of Montenegro knows all too well about the Belt Initiative because they had the communist Chinese come in and build roads, and when it was time to pay up, Montenegro would have defaulted on it. And communist China said, if you don't pay us, we will take your land. How about
right.
that?
So communist China, communist China, they're gearing up to contest America's global leadership, are unmistakable, and they're ubiquitous. In 2017, China's President Xi Jinping announced that his country had entered a new era and must take center stage in the world. A year later, Xi also called for China to lead the reform of the global governance system. And it's happening. China's rapidly expanding that Belt and Road Initiative we talked about earlier, and its sheer number of vessels at sea, submarines, warships, amphibious warfare vessels and auxiliaries, and domination of high-tech industries are all markers of this. Does that scare the crap out of you? It scares the stinky stuff right out of me.
Man. I just can't help but see that this is all by design, and it's a reason why the communist Chinese have compromised Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. It just doesn't happen by accident. And it's a reason why they want Donald Trump away from politics. He has absolutely exposed the corruption that we're seeing, not just in America, but on a globalist basis. And it's just, we have a tough task ahead of us, we the people, but we're going to do it. And we definitely have to make sure that we take America back. And we are a threat to democracy because that democracy that is planned for America is to descend into a dictatorship as it always does. And we take that as a fact.
Yeah, true democracy is 50% plus one, tyranny of the strong, overtaking the weak. Our constitutional republic, the weak have rights as well.
Well, listen, if you're not weak enough, if you're strong enough to listen to Hank Jones and Polly Sports on Wednesday, I suggest you do so. That's 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Global Patriot Radio. Hank and his posse does a great job with regards to sports and politics, and Hank is definitely well-versed in politics. So check out the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show on Wednesday. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and a beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, and Minister Dakduk does an absolute outstanding job. Expert on the Quran. I actually have been listening to Minister Dakduk and his shows and his education on the Quran is unbelievable. And he's also a threat to the Muslim Brotherhood because he speaks Arabic. And that is why you've got the Council on American-Islamic Relations basically bully him and harass him around the United States when Minister Simon Dacdac goes to speak, because they're afraid of him. Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows to check out. You've got Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check her out Friday afternoons at 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. She's a great psychic, author Curtis Bennett. Check out her show at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You want a break from politics, an apolitical show, check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. That's Blog Talk's sister station. Check out Simone Nicole. Joshua does a great job, great self-help, and Big gives us a great music lesson. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, great patriot. Check her out, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Go to audreyrusso.com. Wonderful show. Mr. P, her sidekick, is fantastic. Love his monologues. And Audrey generally has three guests, and she does a fantastic job in her interviews of her guests. Joe Gibson, Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, Restoring Our Republic. Joe was in the chat room earlier. Check out Bigfoot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Excellent blog spot. Love it. Big was on vacation. He was showing pictures of Key West and the museums down there, some landmarks. It was fantastic. Enjoyed it. I loved the pictures. Looks like he had some good weather down there. Big, palm trees were flowing. So thanks for the history lesson once again. Just outstanding. James, nice to see you. Thank you so much, Snowman James. Appreciate you being here. Hank Jones, Poly Sports, was here. Also, you got Boyd, the Alaskan, up there in cold country. Good to see you. And Golf Dogs, HOV Radio. Nice to see you, dogs and moving. Thank you for the update on the military movement. And, of course, Sue from New Mexico. Great to see Sue. Happy New Year to you all, and thank you all for joining us this evening. Al, you got any parting shots?
Hey, if you believe in majority rules, minority rights, then love our freedom and liberty and protect our country. God bless America.
God bless America. God bless you all out there in podcast land. Thank you all for joining us. You all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Ciao for now, folks. Frankie, take us out.
Yes, it was
I don't have quite the voice, but.
No, you don't. But you try. You get a participation trophy.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much.
Did you see what that one guy did to the great governor of Florida?
No.
They were at up in Iowa. They were at some restaurant or something like they do. Well, this guy came up just deadpan serious. He had a little trophy, and he said, "Governor DeSantis, we'd like to present you with the participation trophy in the Iowa caucuses. Now, you have no chance of winning. Everybody knows this, but we wanted to give you this participation trophy and thank you, participation trophy, and thank you for trying. We really appreciate it." And that was the presentation. And the wife, what's her name, Casey, is that her, the wife's name?
Casey
started smiling, and he got mad. Ron DeSantis got mad. But it was one of the funniest gags so far. It was hilarious.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, if DeSantis, he said, if he doesn't show well or loses the Republican caucus in Iowa, he's done. So,
should have been done a long time ago. But people will forget all the problems that he created, and I think that him and Trump will kiss and make up. And who knows?
What do you think? You think he could be a running mate?
Oh, I think he could be a running mate. You know, I'm not sure. I think Trump will take a female.
Yeah.
I at least that's what, you know, I've also read, I mean, I've read it, and I happen to agree with that part of it. But I think him and DeSantis will make up. I think part of the whole politics side of it, I think Trump is savvy enough now to you know, he will never forget, but he'll certainly forgive him. And, you know, DeSantis would be
sure.
Stupid not to do so, right?
Yeah, it's all politics. This is all show.
You know, and DeSantis got some really poor advice. I mean, he, you know, the never Trumpers want Trump out so bad that they found DeSantis, and DeSantis sold his soul. And you know, he believed the mantra: you got to change, you have to, you know, you have to change your tune. And that one billionaire who was heavily supporting DeSantis was said to say, you got to move more to the center. And that's, you know what, that's not DeSantis. But, you know, he allowed himself, and maybe it's just a naivety of running for president of the United States, but he allowed himself to be morphed into something that he wasn't, that he's not. But it's a good experience for him, I think. I think he's learned, he may have learned something, and we'll see.
We shall see, yes.
So, yeah, we'll see. So, all right. So I'll talk to you later this week. I'll fill you in on some other things. Unfortunately, I have to split here. So, sorry. I seem to be just a tad off. I'm still kind of recovering from this cold. Haven't been able to sleep very well, but yeah, that's all right. It's all part of life. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, maybe you got the COVID.
Nah. No, I tested negative for it.
Oh,
did
good.
One of the home,
good.
Yeah, I did one of the home tests. So, yeah. No, it was good.
All right. Just feel better.
Thanks.
And,
you too.
I'll talk to you soon.
Hit them well.
And have a great evening.
You too. And you as well, Sue. Take care. I'll talk to you later, Al.
All right, Sue. You too. Stay well. Adios, amigo.
Adios. Ciao for now, folks. Thank you.